Wow, what a great podcast today. Stu is here. Pat is back. We also had Jason Whitlock, who talked a little bit about the NFL. He said that he thinks the NFL vaccination rules are going to make stop and frisk look like the Emancipation Proclamation. Now, I wish Joe Biden was here to say that's not hyperbole. No joke. I mean it. It's a fact. Look it up. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Joe Biden is not here. However, his son is cashing in. And meanwhile, his daddy decided to let a few things go with the Chinese. We're not going to continue to investigate and press charges against these so-called Chinese spies. What's the big deal? It's pretty amazing what the Justice Department has backed off on just in the last couple of days. All the little investigations that were going. We'll tell you more about that on today's podcast. And we actually started with a salute to women. Because, I mean, if you're a progressive woman, my gosh, you have to love what's going on. Because they've made all of your dreams come true. That's where we begin on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome back to Mr. Pat Gray, who has been on hiatus and vacation for the last week. Wow.
Wow.
World hasn't changed at all, has it?
No.
No. We're thinking about the masks coming back.
Yeah.
We got that going for us.
Yeah. In fact, as we were driving through St. Louis, they were reinstituting the mandate.
Yeah. Did you put yours on?
I did not.
You did not?
I did not.
Even though they were reinstituting it.
Even though they were reinstituting it.
Today it's mandatory.
And we were on their freeways.
Wow.
We said, nope, I'm not doing it.
Not doing it. Wow. You are a rebel.
I am.
Living on the edge.
I am a
scoffer. How are the people of Missouri and in Illinois, because you were up in that area?
Yeah, I was.
How are they doing with the mask thing?
They're done with it. They're done with the mask thing.
Really?
We went all over Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Iowa.
You know how to have a good time.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. We saw more cornfields than you can shake a stick at.
And I've been shaking sticks at cornfields for quite a while.
Does it work? Or
no, it really is not as much fun as advertised.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Nobody's wearing a mask.
Really?
Nobody. A few waitresses, but that's it. Usually in the restaurants, they weren't even wearing a mask. But I will tell you the thing that is going on is the employee shortage at restaurants.
Oh, yeah, big time.
It is critical. Many restaurants completely shut down because they can't get enough employees.
Which is crazy. It's
not because of COVID. It's because they can't get the employee, which might be sort of related to
might
COVID.
Might be sort of. Might
sort
be,
of
maybe.
Related in a
way.
Yeah,
I'm shaking my stick right now
at that,
to see if that's what it is. And
you
yes,
keep shaking it.
Yeah.
Because I think you might.
I think it's on to something. I'm not, but the stick is.
Yes.
So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on while you were away. Don't know if you heard, but we're going to be relegated to the ether if we ask questions now that the CDC or the White House doesn't want us to ask.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah,
why would you ask something like that?
Sure.
It happened the other day with Jen Psaki being asked a question she didn't really like.
Vaccination status of employees?
Well, they're vaccinated here in the White House medical unit for the most part. Go ahead. Oh, Kelly, I'm sorry. I'll come to you next.
Two questions that I could. One, this administration has long claimed that you're trying to be the most transparent history. If that's the case, why won't you just release the number of breakthrough cases that you had of vaccinated staffers?
Well, I think first we're in a very different place than we were 6 to 7 months ago as it relates to the virus.
Yeah.
And as many medical experts have said, inside and outside of the government, those who are vaccinated are protected from serious illness. Most are asymptomatic if they are individuals who are vaccinated who get the virus. You know, we are in a different place in terms of the impact of individuals who may have, as you said, breakthrough cases.
But why not just provide the number? Are you trying to hide something?
No, but why do you need to have that information?
case of transparency in the interest of the public, knowing, having a better understanding.
Why do you need that information?
We're here in the White House.
Well, first, amazing? There are the CDC tracks, and let me give you this information, too.
And she goes on to answer CDC questions tracks that were not related to that one.
Right, but she doesn't like that question.
But she didn't like that question.
Why did they need that question under the Trump administration?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Why do any of us need any question answered by you? Isn't that what we're supposed to do, and then you answer them? Right. I thought that's how it worked.
What is our arrangement here?
Yeah,
what
am I? You answer questions, yeah, and I ask them.
Seems like you make $174,000 a year to answer the questions, yeah, I ask.
And we should point out, she is our employee. She, yeah, is not, right, like, people could look at that.
It's completely
because,
been flipped on its,
yeah,
head.
Yeah, it's a position that's responsible to the public. The press secretary is supposed to give us information. It's not a campaign official, which is what they've become over the past couple decades.
That's for sure.
But, I mean, she's supposed to, her job is to get, mm-hmm, information from the White House to us. It's not to defend, right, President Biden.
It's not to ask why you need that information.
No.
Because I just want it.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
Plus, it's my job to get it. How about that? Plus, the American people want to know. How about that? Crazy. It's just unbelievable what's going on now. But like everything else, it's been completely flipped on its head. And we apparently have no right to any information anymore.
It's almost as if everything is inside out and upside down.
Isn't it, though?
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The goal was to create, mm-hmm, enough chaos, mm-hmm, to turn us upside down and inside out so you won't recognize anything.
It's absolutely happened. It's absolutely, yeah, happened. And they've taken their mask off, too. They don't care anymore.
Well, they should put that mask back on because Fauci says they should put that,
right,
mask back,
that's,
on.
Right.
That's, I've, right. I am not as anti-mask as I thought I was.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking about wearing my mask into stores and, you know, any place that says you have a mask. I'm going to wear it and I say, yes, I wear it as a hat.
That doesn't, I'm not sure that's exactly what
they're
looking
for. I think it's like a
little
Amish hat. I think it's like one of those little.
It is a nice hat.
It's a nice hat.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very nice hat.
And it stops the satellites that are spying on your brainwaves. Potentially deflects some of that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. I already checked.
Oh.
It doesn't. It
darn
doesn't.
It.
I thought that too originally, and then I started doing some research on it. Like, damn.
Well, because I thought the tinfoil works as a conducting device.
It does.
What the government wants you to do to avoid the brainwave
tinfoil hats. That's why they've been pushing it all these years.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, did you hear the audio of Fauci defending the funding now of
the Wuhan lab?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
No, that didn't happen, guys.
That was last week. Listen to this audio.
Critics say the Wuhan lab experiments were nonetheless risky, whether or not they fit that category. And obviously, the Chinese government is not a good faith partner. They're not allowing transparency. They're not allowing a real investigation.
Everyone but
so
the Chinese.
So it's a matter of policy going forward, given that the Chinese government won't allow any real investigation. Do you still think the U.S. government should collaborate with labs like Wuhan, especially on research that experts consider risky?
Hmm. Well, you know, Jake, if you go back to when this research really started and look at the scientific rationale for it, it was a peer-reviewed proposal that was peer-reviewed and given a very high rating for the importance of why it should be done. To be able to go and do a survey of what was going on among the bat population, because everyone in the world was trying to figure out what the original source of the original SARS-CoV-1 was. And in that context, the research was done. It was very regulated. It was reviewed.
Was it?
It was given progress reports.
Uh-huh.
It was published in the open literature. So I think if you look at the ultimate back rationale why that was started, it was almost as if you didn't pursue that research, you would be negligent,
right,
because we were trying to find out how you can prevent this from happening again.
Mm. You'd be negligent if you didn't do the research that they didn't do, according to him. But it was all peer-reviewed and watched carefully and monitoring. So, you know, it was done carefully, but we didn't do it. But we would have been negligent had
we
not do it.
Yeah.
What?
Has there ever been a bigger lying sack of crap than Anthony Fauci? I don't know that there ever has been.
Is there? I mean, is there anyone?
Oh, yes, there has.
Has
been.
There? Really?
Yes, there has been.
I don't know.
He's just He's a prolific liar. He is. It's a broad, it's very narrow. It's only about COVID, but it's very broad inside that narrow category. Yes. Wait, it's almost everything he says.
Is anyone questioning what he said? Like, no one's questioning whether, like, this research was started to begin a pandemic. Like, no one thinks that, like, they were like, you know what? Let's start a pandemic. We'll start some research to get it going.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
everyone
nobody
understands
said that.
That
Always
the idea
start with the false the premise.
Right. The beginning of this, yes, we can understand why you'd think about this. But he continually does this and plays these semantic games where, like, they said, okay, gain-of-function research is banned. And so... hey, let's go through a process to try to justify that this isn't the definition of gain of function, so we can do it.
No, they did that after.
Right. Yes. They started
the peer review. Said that it was gain of function, and it was peer reviewed. Yeah, I don't know if you heard
the
that.
Documents,
but it
the
was
papers
peer reviewed. Peer reviewed. Okay.
But they were
good.
Titled gain of function.
Yeah, but they were peer reviewed and closely scrutinized.
They peer reviewed their way into being able to do
exactly
the research.
Exactly right.
They had they set up their own guidelines.
Yes.
And then they said, how do we get around these guidelines?
Correct.
And so they got around the guidelines.
Then after it was quote unquote a success, then they had to publish a paper on it, peer reviewed paper, by the way. Mm-hmm. And in it said that this this was done before, you know, the United States held back the funding, even though we gave back the funding back to them. And it said, but a peer reviewed review was done by peers.
Right.
And they looked into it, and this one can continue.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So
that's good to hear.
It was peer reviewed the whole time and closely scrutinized.
And like, that's a like, the question wasn't even about that. It was about, should this continue in the future? And he didn't even come remotely close to answer the question.
You don't need that answer. What you need is how many peers of mine
have
reviewed
it? Okay. Yes. Now, yes. How many peers have reviewed
lots.
It?
Lots.
A lot?
Lots. Is it peer reviewed? Vast majority of my peers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
How many peers do you actually
have? I
have
more than I can count.
Okay.
Why do you need that question?
That's a lot. I don't need that question.
I
withdraw the question.
Thank you. You're getting a little hostile.
Yeah, I apologize.
Why are you questioning me?
I shouldn't apologize.
I would accept your apology, but you're white, and so you can never
do enough to apologize.
Welcome back, Pat Gray. Nice to have you back in the studio.
Good to be back as well.
Are you still hosting that program called Pat Gray Unleashed, available everywhere?
I am. It usually happens, in fact, just about every time right before this show.
What? Really? How would people, how would one acquire this?
Why are you asking that? Why do you need that question answered?
Well, I guess I
don't know the people,
but I'm
that.
Willing to. I'm willing to. It's you know, you could go to the Blaze Radio Television, listen to it there, or anytime wherever you get your podcast.
That sounds convenient.
Wow. Usually, it costs about $130 to download it, but
right. It's free now.
We've discounted it 100%.
This man is magnanimous. This man has gone the extra mile, even just answering a question that shouldn't have been asked in the first place.
Sorry, you're welcome.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
So, I don't know about you, but I love the Cleveland Guardians. Love that name. I think they had to be hammered. I think my guess is that those involved in changing the Cleveland Indians name said, I cannot do this sober. And so, you know, maybe, you know, one of the head guys was out on the bridge and like, you know, Bill's going to kill himself if we change the name of the Indians. No, he's not. Yes, he's out on the bridge right now, standing next to that big statue on the Hey, maybe that's it. That statue's called the Guardian. Why don't we call him the Cleveland Guardians? Now, I believe that's the way it happened, and I would like to submit some evidence. What did the hell you saying? The Cleveland Guardians already taken. There's another team called the Cleveland Guardians. in their own town. And they even have their own website. Nobody checked the .com thing.
It does seem like an important idea to check ClevelandGuardians.com before
only
you name...
if you believe in the internet.
Yeah, I mean, if you think there's a future...
It's a passing trend.
Yeah, if you think the interwebs have a future, you usually would go to ClevelandGuardians.com, which is a male roller derby team.
And I never thought of that.
I know. You'd think before you book Tom Hanks to come in and narrate your launch video, you go to the website.
What kind of attorney do they have? Because they had to go and search Cleveland Guardians before, did they not?
I can't believe they didn't. It had to be, maybe it was one of these things where the owner of the site was like, screw you guys, if you change the name, I don't want you to have it. And they've already given up and they said, well, we'll name it theclevelandguardians.com or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what they did. But all I can tell you is you should probably have control of the website. This is why it's difficult to rename a team now. There's a guy in Washington who, predicted... as it turns out correctly, that the world would become much more woke and the Washington Redskins would no longer be allowed. And so he went out and he bought WashingtonWhatevers.com and came up with 100 different things and booked all of them. Now, what they wound up doing, they couldn't come up with a team name and they've decided to just go with Washington Football Team, which is hilarious.
I have that one. WashingtonFootballTeam.com.
Surprising, that was one of the things he didn't have.
Right.
That's weird. I actually think that one turned out to be brilliant. And I liked it at the time. Most people hated it. Now, I would have preferred staying with Washington Redskins because all the complaints about them were stupid. But if you had to change the name, I like Washington Football Team because I'm an NFC East fan. I'm an Eagles fan. My dad was a Giants fan. One of my good friends is a Redskins fan. Everyone here is a Cowboys fan. No one on earth calls them the Washington Football Team. They just keep calling them the Redskins because there's no substitute. If they came out with the Washington Guardians, eventually people would transition. No one calls them the football team. They either call them Washington or they say the Redskins. And so essentially the team in a way has not really been renamed. At some point, the woke left is going to notice this and they're going to make them change it again.
I have a feeling Cleveland, the Guardians, haven't really officially changed their name either.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
With its COVID protocols, the NFL is implementing medical Jim Crow, and Joe Biden loves it. That's from the latest edition of the Blaze podcast from Jason Whitlock, who's joining us now. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Glenn. How are you? Happy Monday.
Yeah, thank you. So I heard this about the NFL over the weekend, and I'm not qualified to talk about it at all. So I thought I'd let you and Stu talk about it. You know, for the people who, you know, want something halfway accurate.
Perfect. I'm here to do it.
So what do you mean by modern day Jim Crow?
Well, to be quite honest with you, Tucker Carlson coined the phrase medical Jim Crow a couple of months ago. He was talking about how these COVID restrictions are going to negatively impact Black Americans because we are the most reluctant by all the data says we are the most reluctant to take the COVID vaccines. And we're seeing it play out in the National Football League. The NFL has implemented some rules in terms of even if you're unvaccinated and you breach any of the protocols they set up, including not having your mask on 24/7 whenever you're in the building, you're going to face a $14,000 fine. If your team has some kind of COVID outbreak that involves an unvaccinated player, your team could be forced to forfeit games and paychecks. All of these restrictions, based on the data and the research and who's getting the vaccines, are going to disproportionately impact Black NFL players negatively. And it's how these COVID restrictions, again, the left loves to talk about, oh, Jim Crow, voter suppression. It's Jim Crow 2.0. And these rules requiring an ID are going to negatively impact poor Black and brown people. And it's all BS, Glenn. I have yet, this whole voter ID deal, it's a victimless crime in terms of, I haven't seen any proof that black people are showing up at the polls and being turned away because they have no ID, or they're sitting at home, oh, I got no ID, I can't do voter mail or whatever. It's all garbage. What actually is legitimate is what's going on with these COVID restrictions, but you won't hear anybody on the left talk about it.
Okay, so why is it that the black community is the worst at not getting vaccinated?
No group of people has been preached to more aggressively, don't trust the government,
right?
Than black people.
Stu, we were right. Stu and I were talking about this morning, and we're like, if you're black, why would you take it? You're being told everybody is trying to kill you. Here, take this vaccine.
And look, there have been examples of the Tuskegee syphilis project that, you know, from the 1930s that really damaged black men, and we were basically lab rats.
Yeah.
And so that's part of our history. But again, it's part of our history. What's going on today is corporate media and the Democratic puppet masters every day telling black people, man, this government is out to get you. It's systemically racist. You have no shot. And so it makes perfect sense for black people to say, man, I'm not going to trust an experimental vaccine that hasn't gone through all the proper normal protocols and channels that vaccines go through before they're issued in mass. It makes perfect sense for us to be the least likely to go get the shot.
So why then is the media attacking Trump supporters when that's not, it's not even true? Why are they going after people and not mentioning blacks and Hispanics, which are far more less likely to get vaccinated?
Because all the corporate media does is lie, and they particularly lie about race issues, and they want to demonize, oh my God, there's this Delta variant, and it's Trump supporters. And again, it's almost like there are two dishonest messages confusing black people. One is the government's out to get you, and they're plotting every day on how they can kill you. And two is, oh man, these Trump supporters, they're destroying America for you, and you must hate them because they're your mortal enemies. And Glenn, I'm gonna go to my death saying Trump supporters and black people are natural allies.
Mm-hmm.
Both groups need to wake up and understand we're not the elites. And I you know, it's Glenn Beck is worth a gazillion dollars. I'm worth a lot of money. I get when people say, oh, well, you guys are elites too. Our mentality is an elite. You know, our faith in a higher power makes us humble ourselves and have a different worldview. And so even though I'm wealthy, I'm not an elite. I have a working class mentality.
Well, you know, beyond that, I don't think it matters when we're all saying everyone should have the same opportunity and shot. I don't, unlike Donnie Deutsch, who came out. Can you play this for Jason? Who came out this weekend and said this. Imagine the arrogance to say this on TV.
Look, whether it's a mandate on mask, a mandate of vaccine, is at this point, there is a percentage of the population that, who cares whether they're angry or upset about, that this is just, there's 330 million people in this country. We need to protect ourselves. And as Willie and Alicia mentioned, look, there's been mandates on throughout time. I grew up having to get a smallpox vaccine. We all did. Other vaccines also. So I'm done worrying about what people think. I'm done worrying about, is there going to be a firestorm? Whether it's a mandated mask, whether it's a mandated vaccine, there's an idiot percentage of this population that just needs to be told what to do. And guess what?
Wow. I think that's elite. That's elite.
That's certainly an un-American sentiment. It's also a dangerous sentiment when again, that's someone who arrogant, self-important, thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And it's literally that. I promise you, I wake up every day hoping I don't make a fool out of myself with something ignorant that I do, mm-hmm. and that's my system of checks and balances to make sure that I act normal. I just don't have that superiority gene that Donnie Deutsch seems to have, and a lot of people on the left seem to have. They're just smarter than everybody else, and the rest of us are just blessed to be in their presence.
In your article, you talk about a player from Arizona and Tampa that spoke out last week about this. And yeah. You said, we can't be cowards and sheep forever. What do you mean?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins, the Arizona Cardinal wide receiver, has expressed his reluctance and concern about the vaccine. Leonard Fournette, who plays with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just won a Super Bowl. He's tweeted out he doesn't want to get the vaccine. And I just think that what initially started out in corporate sports media was they were going to frame Cole Beasley, this white wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He was the first to start speaking up, and he was actually doing it probably on behalf of his black teammates who were probably too afraid to speak up because they just don't want to deal with the social media backlash. And so the media was going to frame like Cole Beasley, he's the only one, and it's the white guys, and he's a Trump supporter, and, you know, he's against the vaccine. And so I'm just glad to see DeAndre Hopkins and Leonard Fournette express what I know many black people think and feel. The data backs it up. That's how we think and feel. Certainly in those NFL locker rooms aren't immune to what the rest of us think and feel. Ezekiel Elliott, you know, the Cowboys running back, came out and said, look, man, I grew up in a family where none of us got vaccinated. We just didn't believe in any of the in any of the vaccines. And that's prevalent among black people, and we got to quit being in fear of the social media mob and the left framing us as idiots or sellouts or whatever. We got to man up like DeAndre Hopkins and Leonard Fournette and Cole Beasley and speak our truth.
So do you actually believe, you said that this COVID-19 is going to make the Emancipation Proclamation. I'm trying to find it. Do you remember what you wrote?
Yeah. I said that these restrictions that the NFL are implementing are going to make, they're going to come off like stop and frisk in old New York. Or they're going to make stop and frisk feel like the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth wrapped all into one.
Oh my gosh. And do you believe that?
To some degree, yes. Now, look, I'm being entertaining in a column, and I want to say remember, just like you did.
I did remember. Well, I barely remembered it, but I that was the line that stuck out.
Yeah, and it's just an analogy that, like, this is the same way we complained about stop and frisk in New York. It's targeting black people. This COVID restriction, it's targeting black NFL players. The data speaks for itself.
Jason, thank you so much. By the way, is it okay to be happy that the Team USA is not doing good? Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't write it in my column, but I was rooting for France.
Right?
I don't want to see these guys on a medal stand irritating me. So I'd rather them lose than get on the medal stand and do any type of protest and irritate me.
Yeah, it just felt wrong because I remember, you know, rooting against the Soviet Union, and I've never rooted against the American team, and I'm kind of there. I'm like, yeah, I don't want them to win. I don't want them to win. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. You knew right where I was going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Na, 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 na.